हरि
Next, Brahma chants the glories of Suyajna, who, as we've already seen in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.12, was fathered by Prajapati Ruchi in the womb of his wife Akuti. Suyajna, also known as Yajna and Hari, personally assumed the throne of the heavenly king Indra to keep order in the cosmos during the Manvantara devastation that fell between the age of Swayambhuva Manu and Sarochisha Manu. 2. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes in his commentary, in the following descriptions, the birth, activities, parents, and name of each avatar are mentioned. In his purport to the same verse, right, so that's the point, is that Prabhupada always points out, is that that's how you know this is bona fide, because it will always mention all these details. It's not that they just showed up one day and suddenly they're God, or their mother pronounced that this one's God. And then if he gets upset with them, then the brother's God, right? He's not God anymore, right?
They manifest the golden egg out of the mouth or something.
Yeah, whatever. It's like that. So here, birth, activities, parents, and name of each avatar. Right? So they're already there. It's already established. In his purport to the same verse, Srila Prabhupada explains why these details are important. In order to guard against the invention of unauthorized incarnation of God by the fanciful, less intelligent persons, the name of the father of the bona fide incarnation is also mentioned in the authorized revealed scriptures. No one, therefore, can be accepted as an incarnation of the Lord if his father's name, as well as the name of the village or place in which he appears, is not mentioned by the authorized scriptures. In the Bhagavad Purana, the name of the Kalki incarnation, which is to take place in almost 400,000 years, is mentioned along with the name of his father and the name of the village in which he will appear. A sane man, therefore, does not accept any cheap addition of an incarnation without reference to the authorized scriptures. Because there are a group, and it's not a small group, but there's a group who say that Kalki is already here, and they already had, they're already... whoever it is, the person's there, they're worshipping and everything like that. But he's not supposed to come for another 400,000 years. So that's why Prabhupada's pointing, especially that one out. Because otherwise, then there are those who are saying, no, he's here already. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Yeah, also, one of Yogananda's gurus, Mukeshwar, did some math, and he says we haven't entered Kali Yuga yet.
No, that's just they aren't that good at math. It's like this. Basically, because they're Indian, they got a beard, doesn't mean they know astronomy. Yoga, maybe, but astronomy, that's another. It's another thing. Yeah, no, the Kali Yuga started before. Otherwise, if this is Dwapara, then you wouldn't ever see it coming.
Deep trouble is coming.
Yeah. So you could throw out the concept of the age of Aquarius coming in.
Came out of a whole different length for each of the different views.
Oh, okay. The whole point is if you create something new, then you're unique. And because you're unique, then people value. So it's just marketing technique. cassettes. That's all. That's why they come up. New mantras, new this, new that. You know, oh, that's not there. This, it's all marketing. It has nothing to do with reality. What to do?
And also, Western scholarship influence, because in the Western academia, you have to always come up with something original. So it seems like that's also the thing that they always have to reinvent.
Yeah, well, I mean, even that comes from the Veda, because you have the Muni. Muni means he has his own theory. That's why he's called a Muni. Right? But it has to be able to be substantiated by the Shastra and things like that. But, I mean, you already have your standard, you know, what do you call it? Surya Siddhanta, Arya Siddhanta, and all these that already establish these things. So then why come up with something, you know, like that? It means they have nothing else to do. Yes.
I have a question to the previous point.
The previous point.
The earth.
The earth.
Yeah. Because it says that the demons, they dig the earth, they consume the trouble.
Right.
So it can cause some problems in the walking of the earth.
And, yes.
But also we mentioned previously that earth is capable of handling everything, whatever people are causing to her, it's not a big deal for her. She can really manage the soul. So how can we reconcile that?
Well, it's just like the pure devotees. They have all the eight cities. But it's not that they use them. Hmm. Like Prabhupada, he has all the mystic cities, so he could do so many things, but he doesn't. You know, because the point is it's not about just getting something done, it's about taking part in the Lord's pastime. So how does Krishna want it to unfold and happen? So they don't, you know, generally speaking, you don't hear about them using them. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, she can do these kind of things. But it's, yeah.
The question was, because sometimes even devotees, they get into this mood that, you know, we have to save the earth, you know, there's so much
And how
stuff.
Are they going to save the earth? How are they going to save the earth?
That's my point. Why worry about that if she's alone here?
No, she can take care, but I'm saying, how are they going to save the earth? What's their save the earth policy?
Plastic and all that stuff.
Plastic, yeah. And then how are they going to put their movement together to stop the use of plastic?
Committee.
A committee, okay, that's another thing. So, but I'm talking about what is going to be their way of communication to rally everyone together.
Plastic computers.
Yeah, plastic computers. You know, so it's just more pranamoya. You know, you're going to save the earth by how? You know, by joining the greenie movement or by making people God conscious. So the point is you want to save the earth, then you chant Hare Krishna and spread the mission. You know, you want people to live together harmoniously, you chant Hare Krishna and spread the mission. Right? You want to bring about a new world order, you chant Hare Krishna. That means whatever it is you want, the only thing to do is chant and get other people to chant. There isn't another solution. So that's why we make the cow. Nice to save the earth, but, you know, I mean, we can't even save the cows. Right, who represent the earth, you know, so it's like, you know, how many devotees are running, you know, dairy farms successfully, right? Materialists do it, but why we're not doing it, right? Because the ability's not there. So if we can't save a cow, how are we going to save a whole earth, you know, like that? Yeah, what are we going to do? You know, so it's like, you know, and then they're going to, and then how are they going to get to the place where they're going to have their demonstrations or all these things? By car. And so that is taking the oil out. That's creating the imbalance. You know, so what is this they're going to save the earth? Yeah. Brahma couldn't save the earth. Right? Vishnu had to come down and save the earth.
At the same time, as a devotee, we could be in harmony with God's laws, right? So
that's the point. You live a life like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was saying about that is what is it? What do you call it? Theistic. Yeah, theistic conduct. So you live a lifestyle that's theistic. It's based on scriptures. It's practiced by the great authorities like that, the devotees of the Vaishnavas and the sages. So you do that, naturally then everything works like that. It means where does the exploitation come from? It comes from non-devotional. Like here is Hiranyaksha. He basically lives a Vedic lifestyle. What is he plundering the earth for? Gold, right? He's not looking for platinum or something like that. You know, he's looking for gold, right? So the whole idea is that you there's greed. You want more than you require, right? So then that's a problem. So you get rid of that by introducing Krishna consciousness, because greed comes through pride. So unless you're proud, how can you be greedy? Right? Some of the insecurity complex can't be greedy. Right? Because you have to have a strong identity to be able to apply that I deserve more. Because if you can't figure out who I is, how are you going to get more? Does that make sense? Yeah. So therefore, these kind of movements and mission, you know, elements like this, they're nice for the materialist, because at least this shows that there's some subtler aspect to their existence, that there is a care for something greater than just themselves. But really, it's they want to save the planet so they have a nice place to live. But ultimately, even if they can push it a little farther than that, but it still never makes it past pranamoy, because what's the method they're going to use? The only method is perform your duty and get others to perform their duties. But that's the last thing that they want to do, is submit to the Vedic literatures that this is the lifestyle I should be living. You know, like the example I said the other day, you know, one's talking, you know, one person who's into, what do you call it, self-sufficiency is talking to another one in self-sufficiency. And you know, the one was walking, the other one's on his bicycle, and he says, so when are you going to give up your bicycle, you know, because, you know, we can't make bicycles, right? And the other one is, like, famous for being on the computer all day, the one who made the comment, you know.
One of the most powerful preaching tools we have is prasadam. And the soup for life, I just passed the booth on the way in, and the devotee is asking me to bless his effort to do that. But governments will actually help feed people. You know, if it's organized properly,
Even
governments will get involved in that.
And
prasadam is very, very powerful. So a lot of people started that way, a lot of devotees.
That's good.
And so if somebody wants to save the earth, they could start there.
Yeah.
And turn people into vegetarians.
That's another thing. Even they're vegetarians, but the point is it's that they're doing something connected to the Lord that's important, because a lot of the planet, you know, the living entities are vegetarian. You know, so that's not the real point to do. That's a side point. That's just being in line with God's laws, you know. Because lions are always going to be never going to be vegetarian.
Nice.
You know. So the thing is that it's good, but the good part about it is the connection with the Lord. That's always the point. So you're trying, if you get people to follow the lifestyle that's in line with the laws of the Lord, then everything works properly. Like that, because it has the nature is you have to contemplate whether you actually want to be so greedy or not. It doesn't mean that you'll get perfection, because even following all of these, still people would want more than necessary, right? But it's built into it that even you wanted more than necessary at one point, you pass it on to the next generations, you give it away in charity, but you give it all up. So it's built in so that it reduces how out of hand it can get, like that. But if you use the modern, you know, pranamoyic methods, there's nothing. There's no governor. There's no governor on it. Where does it stop? Where does the green movement stop? You know, where does the political movement stop? Where does any of these movements stop? They don't stop until they basically destroyed everything. right? Because their basis is ignorance, because they think they're the body, so therefore it's going to end in ignorance, you know? Live by the sword, die by the sword. So they're never ultimately going to benefit like that. There may be some element that's useful, but it's only because there is a law that governs that. But not understanding that law, they don't know how to balance it. So if I'm dealing in one area, it goes into everybody's area. You know, so you go in and harass the housewife over something. You know.
Maharaj, how much does a devotee need to be concerned about degradation in the Dham? Like the
degradation in the Dham.
Yeah, like save the Yamuna campaign.
Save the Yamuna campaign. The point is what's the Yamuna? What is the Yamuna?
It's a sacred river.
Yeah, and so what's it made out of?
Water.
But what water?
From the spiritual world.
Okay, so is that what they're bringing in? Is that what they're bringing in?
That's
But they're going out and they're approaching the government that we want all the spiritual water for the Yamuna. They said the government can keep the material water. We want the spiritual water. Then?
Yeah.
Before it gets to the government.
No, but you're missing the point. What are they diverting? Any water that goes out of the Ganga is no longer Ganga. Any water that comes into the Ganga is Ganga. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So the water that's being diverted is not Yamuna. You can't divert the Yamuna. You understand? But the Yamuna is there. It's just unmanifest. We may not be able to see it or appreciate it. And that makes sense. These are spiritual rivers. People can't play with them. You know, the Saraswati, no matter what the one tried, you know, it's reversed. It goes back the other way. How many rivers do you know of reversed and go the other way? So this one's going backwards. You know what I'm saying? So the actual Yamuna is not the problem. Now, they want to try to do Dham Seva and beautify and do stuff like that, then it's a matter of trying to bring up the standard and quality that can be appreciated. That's a whole different thing. This idea is save the, you know, Yamuna. What are you doing about it? All this kind of, you know, in-your-face nonsense. What do you mean, what am I doing about it? Why am I supposed to be doing something about it? There's a rule. I'm supposed to be doing something about it. You know? And because you're doing it, then that means everybody's got to do it? There is a Shastra quote for that. It's called Atmavan Manyate Jagat. You know? You know what I'm saying? So why is it you can do that and it's considered normal, but if the brahmacharis get a little enthusiastic, then that's bad. If the men get enthusiastic, then that's bad. But you can take up a modern ism, and then that's perfect. What is this all in your face kind of stuff? It means they have nothing to inspire themselves in devotional service. That I got to put up, you know, pictures of, you know, burning ghats and people dead and everything to inspire the devotees to do something. It's a bunch of nonsense. You know, who cares about the kids? Other than something going wrong, they'll only deal with it once it's wrong. Nobody's putting any money and effort into making sure that nothing goes wrong by doing the right thing. Go ahead, knock me out. Tell me who's putting money into education. Who cares about kids? No, they only care if something goes wrong that doesn't land on their head with a court case. Who cares about the kids? One or two, but basically no. Who cares about the women? No. You let them go free, let them do what they like. No one wants to deal with the root of it. Why are they not protected in the first place? No one's going to deal with that. That's work. That's effort. Cows, you know, the only thing they can do is say nobody should have them. Right? Old people, they're worrying about it because they're getting old. And Brahmins, it's not even a topic of discussion. Never was, never will be. Because then it's elitist, it's this, a period. It's all kind of, in other words, what is in line with pranamoy is appreciated. And what's in line with dharma, nobody gives a hoot. So therefore, I say all these things are just isms that are nice if they're not devotees. But if they're devotees, you have to look at it from the point of what is the actual duty. The Gita opens with isms. That's where the Gita starts, is with pranamoy. All my family members are going to be killed, and then all the welfare stuff's going to stop and all that. And it was actually even leaning towards Dharma. These other things aren't even leaning towards Dharma. It's what he's supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? So, as a service to improve the quality of the Dham and all the nice things, then yes, do all these things. But it's a matter of bringing water into the Jamuna. But even if you don't bring, the Jamuna is still there, just we can't see it. This thing, I'm going to save the Jamuna. No, you can beautify the Dham. That you can do. By putting in some effort and everything like that. But this thing, we're going to save it. Who are we? You know, Jamuna is going to save us. Save the Jamuna. You know what I'm saying? In other words, the effort to try to have water there, that's nice. You know, it beautifies the Dham. It makes it look nice. But the idea that I'm going to save the Jamuna, so what do you mean we're going to save the Jamuna? The Jamuna is the Krishna, he's taking care of it. Jamuna's already there. Are they worried about saving the Ganga in Vrindavan? Are they worried about that? But the point is do they even see the Ganga in Vrindavan? There's a river there. We just know it as Manasi Ganga. But it's actually a full river. You know, there's 9 rivers here. You see them? You go on Parikram, you're always crossing one on the other side over there. But you just think it's a field. There's 9 rivers here. You see 2. So where are the other 7? So are we going to save them? You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. So you have to know what you're saving and what you're not. This whole thing, you bring the save. Why not as Dham saver? Beautify the Dham. But then you'd have to be consistent. You know? Build your places that look nice. Try to, you know, worry how to make it nice, how to make it good. Then it's service. Otherwise it's just pranamoy. Yes.
I'm a little concerned now that when I take Ganga away and I take it to the west, it's not Ganga anymore, or is it to do with consciousness?
No, it means the rivers that go out.
Only in the form of river.
Yeah, when they go out in branches. No, when you take it out of there, because you understand it's Ganga, it stays as Ganga, as long as you don't filter it. You filter it, it's not Ganga anymore. Mm-hmm. It means you can run it through cloth, you can let it settle, and then filter it through cloth. You take cloth and put 2 layers of nice clean cloth and run it through there to get out the dust. But if you're filtering it because you're getting rid of bacteria in that, you know, like they did those little bottles of, you know, 1,000 holy places, that's just plain water. There isn't a holy place in that water. Because they ran it through, what do you call it, reverse osmosis, so that it wouldn't kill the Westerners, you know, they're so delicate. You know, because all these nasty holy places, they can have all kinds of diseases. No, you can take a nice bottle of, let's say, New York, you know, drinking water, you know, and a bottle of, you know, Radha Kund or anything like that, and look at it after a couple of years. The holy place is clear, and the other one is all funky. So which one's the pure one? You understand? So what I'm saying is these mundane concepts are not devotional. Like that. Being but so there is something valuable there, but you have to know what is valuable. You know what I'm saying? So just like this, is that I remember seeing one devotee talking about how they need to bring the Jamuna back and everything like that, because it's a look at the state of it. But he's talking about how people, due to their bad consciousness and this and that. Because then a short time later, he's down with his devotees down at the Jamuna there in some spot, and they're, you know, putting someone's ashes in, everyone's going in and taking bath and everything, because this is a Jamuna. But many of the others won't bathe there because, oh, this is not the Jamuna, this is just, you know, some water from Delhi or stuff like that. What do you mean? Whatever's there is Jamuna. So this whole idea is that you have to be able also to distinguish between who's talking about the element of Dhamseva and who's talking about some Pranamoya thing. Because you also have that difference.
There was an article in one of the old Gaudiya publications, maybe 50 years ago, and it was attributed to Mark Twain, and he was in India. And they were looking into how cholera outbreaks because of Varanasi, because of things going into the Ganga. Those outbreaks would stop about certain kilometers downstream. There were no more outbreaks. And so they took some water to the laboratory and they put cholera germs in the Ganges water, and then they had another beaker with regular water. And they did it with both, and 6 or 8 hours later the cholera germs were dead in the Ganges water, whereas in the regular water they don't fly.
No, Ganga purifies itself. Also, all the silt that you see in the Ganga, you know that it has that brown color, she produces that herself. They're independent. Mm-hmm. We can do service. But my point is, service, then it has to be by inspiring the devotional side, not by this in your face, you know, so what are you doing about it? It's kind of like, you know, give me a break. Like that, you know. I just saw one the other day, you know. So another sign here in Mayapur is looking, and it has another one of those kind of in your face. So, you know, it's kind of like, hey, get out of here. Right. So does that make sense? So in other words, the concept, the intent is good, but you have to know what's the intent. Why do they want the Jamuna back? For what reason? What's their purpose of bringing it?
Because they can't see.
Okay, but is that a reason? Just because I can't see? Govardhan's disappearing, so shall we start the Save Govardhan campaign?
They will never see.
Yeah, so the point is why do they want to do it? Is it for the benefit of the Dham? Is it for the benefit of Krishna? But, you know, what's the point?
So, aggrandizement?
That's there, but no, you have the elements of this, a sentiment to do some good. So that's not a problem. But you have to be able to discern with what in that is sentiment and what in that's actually devotional. Right? So it's not that it's a problem trying to do that, but it's a matter of what's the angle on doing it. Right? We have to discern. That's the whole point of these discussions in Bhagavatam at this point, is to discern between what is matter and what is spirit. Because we have to be very careful that the idea, because I'm a devotee, everything I do is spiritual. No, so when you're on prema, yes, then everything you do is spiritual. But if it's before prema, then it's not that everything you do is spiritual. Otherwise, if it was, you'd be on the platform of prema. Right? Prema means always spiritual. Below prema means there's something else there. So you have to discern what it is. Otherwise, if we can't discern, we don't take the time to discern, then how do we know that it's going nicely? Is that... Brahma next recounts the pastimes of Lord Kapiladeva, appearing as the 10th child and only son of Kardama Muni and the most fortunate Devahuti. He personally delivered his mother by teaching her the science of self-realization in the form of Bhagavat Shankya Darshan. This, the God-given Shankya philosophy, investigates Prakriti, material nature, and Purusha, primarily the supreme enjoyer. Secondarily, his imitators from among the marginal parts and parcels of the Lord. The goal, Atmagati, is the fallen soul's salvation and ultimate perfection and eternal loving servitude to Purushottam, Sri Krishna. Right? So that's the difference. You have Shankya and then you have Bhagavat, not Shankya. Right? So then that's a nice way you can distinguish, yes.
The value of Shankya is not by the imposter before? Is it not that of
Sampradaya? Yes, means that the one in the six systems, that's by the atheistic.
And this Shankya or Bhagavad Shankya, that's
the one for you. Yes. So Kapila, in other words, both of the names are Kapila, but Kapila, the son of Devahuti, that's Bhagavat Shankya. Otherwise, it's just regular Shankya. Mm-hmm. You know, like you have Daiva Varnasham and Varnasham. Technically, there's the same. What's the difference? Right? It'll be the connection. So it's not that what Kapila is talking about, who's not the Lord. It's not that he's the 24 elements or however he's putting it together. I don't know the details, but however he's putting it together, it's not that technically there's any problem. He doesn't take it back to the Lord, as we mentioned. All of them take it back up to the point of Pradhan, and that's where they stop. But now why Pradhan got agitated, that they don't know. They don't know about the glance of Mahavishnu. You know, they don't know about the jivas coming in, about the false ego in time, because that's beyond Pradhan. So they only know how it folds back up to Pradhan. So that's why we say it's not enough. Right? So this is the point is, one could say, you know, just like this. Oh no, but you know, doing this for the Jamuna is good. But good on what level? So the Shankya will get you up to the point of Pradhan, and we'll use the same Shankya, go up to the point of Pradhan, and continue past for the spiritual world. So what's happening here? The mechanics are the same. You know, it's just like the people are cooking, right? But they're not offering to the Lord. You know, but I'm arguing, no, but people have to eat. We have to be practical. Yeah, so we're not saying that, you know. So what are you saying? They should stop cooking? You know? So they're not offering to Lord, so they should stop cooking? So they should starve to death? You know, do you see the line of the... It's all this emotional kind of, you know, about life. Pranamoy, this is Ganapatya. Save the Jamuna is Ganapatya. You know, maybe some are involved that are Suryas, because it's any kind of nice, you know.
Is it the emotion and its effect which stops them from contemplating further?
Because the point is why are you doing it? Why be good unless you're getting something from it? You feel good, so that you get an experience from it. So is the point of doing that to realize the Lord, or is it just to get that effect? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like there was a very one of the early photographers when, you know, when it was photography was just coming out, you know, those big boxes with the slide things and the gunpowder and all that kind of that time, right? So there was one lady, she was very famous for art photography. And someone asked her about it because sometimes the things were, that means they were, everybody agreed that it looked great, but sometimes it was not in focus. And she said, I only focus it until it looks, I think it looks nice. So it's about the effect that you're going to get from it, not about the perfection of the photography. In other words, you only do something because it gets an effect. If it doesn't get an effect, people don't do it. Someone's cooking, if people don't tell them, yes, this is nice, or people appreciate, then they stop cooking. You know what I'm saying? That makes sense. Hence, Maggie noodles. There's a lot of people not appreciating. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yesterday in the class, someone made a question. The question was, I pointed that thing that only devotional service is the
razor's
edge. And after the class, this lady came and said, but how I'm a housewife, how can I balance? And I told her, as long as you keep your determination in the edge, even if you're not there, it will bring you there. Did I
yes.
say it right?
Yeah. Point is you find the distance, that you're trying to make a line between wherever you're at and Krishna. So then you want to move forward, right? But if you're to the left or to the right, you move forward in your... It's not that first I have to get to the razor's edge. Then I can move forward in Krishna consciousness. No, you move forward in Krishna consciousness and bring yourself to the edge at the same time. That's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's point. We don't waste it. Or, all this is nonsense. We have to just, you know, stop all this, destroy all this, and start over. He says that's for fools. No, you take whatever is there because everything has a value. Like you're saying, the idea, the Jamuna project, it has a solid foundation. And that you're doing service to the Dham. But the point is that is not necessarily the attitude of everybody involved. Some yes, but some no. So for some it is a devotional endeavor. Some it's mixed. Some it's purely a pranamoyic thing. To be good, do good. You know? But otherwise, the point is like, what kind of, like, you're dealing with, let's say, the Catholic Church, okay? Do they have fancy words for everything? Okay? Everything they got has a term. Does anybody have a problem with that? No. So then why do we have to call it food for life? The karmis aren't going to have a problem if a religious institution calls it by some religious kind of thing. As long as we're not out there, you know, how you say, it's, you know, we have the pot of kitchery and we have, you know, the bath for baptism there, you know. So as soon as they come, we give them the kitchery stuff. And first you go in the water, and then when you're Hare Krishna, then we'll give you the kitchery. No, so that's what they're looking for, but that you just, that's what religious people always do that, you know. So, and that they go out there and, you know, let's say, you know, you have a, what do you call it? You know, a nunnery is distributing. So is it, will anybody be upset if the nuns are out there in their habit? No. You know what I'm saying? So what's the whole trip that we do that, you know, no one should see, no, it's just like we're just doing good, that puts us on the same level. And when, since when are we on the same level as anyone else? Since when would we want to be on the same level as anyone else? You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole problem is Prabhupada wanted every 10 miles, there's a food distribution center. Where's that? How many food for life are there? How many temples run them? We have 400 temples. How many run them?
32.
Yeah, so therefore it's not about, you know, it's not about actually distributing food. It's not actually, because then you'd really have to get out there and do something big, you know, like in Bangalore. 300,000 children they feed a day. And that's a food distribution program. 300,000, not, you know, 50 bums down on, you know, the corner of the town because we had some leftover prasad. You know. But still, that's nice, but you know, you have leftover prasad instead of throwing it out, you find somebody to eat it. That's good. But I'm saying it's not that we are really caring about these things.
Right, well, that's pretty well on this push out of this.
Yeah, no, it's always been. Because it's about, you know, it's always been. But that's the point, is they build the facilities, create the facilities. So a few temples that do, they create their own facilities. And then they can do that. I think Melbourne, they can distribute a lot of prasad. But they built a kitchen just for that. You know, so some places make the endeavor. But the point is that you're distributing, but then there's also the point. Is it welfare work? Or is it spiritual? You know, and even you say it's welfare, but what aspect of welfare? Is paramupakar just feeding food? Prabhupada used the example, you feed the man, tomorrow he's hungry, you give him Krishna consciousness, it's forever. So there has to be a reason. If they can say, well, they don't want to hear about it, fine. But the point is they're hungry, then here's food.
Then there's the consideration of, you know, if you're going to get a government involved, even without having problems getting donations from the Indian government for his translation work, because they said we are secular, and then the Rockefeller Foundation also said, Swamiji, we don't give anything to religious.
So, but there's plenty of people that do. There's plenty of people that do. You just have to know what you're doing.
My own family was a little, they were reticent to take prasadam because they thought that's how I get snowed under.
So then, they lack piety. That's all. I remember one Sunday feast, one guy was there, we tell him, you know, in the spiritual world, there's no lust. You know? So if you eat this food, there'll be no lust. And he kind of looked at it, says, no lust, then what's the whole point? You know? I heard Jimmy G had the same problem. That he had a problem with Prashad. Universal form, cool, but Prashad, that was a problem. Jimmy.
As long as his head was on, you know.
Yeah, of course, as long as his head was on. Don't know Jimmy? Okay, then don't worry about it. Okay. Okay, so here the point is the difference between the kapilas is one is it's connected to the Lord, one it's not. Right? So the difference in the Varnashram system of Daiva Varnashram and Asuric, it doesn't look any different. Otherwise, how does somebody in the Asuric switch into the Daiva? Bali Maharaj is following Asuric. And then after his contact with Vamanadeva, he was following the Daiva. So it's the connection to the Lord that makes it special. Everything here already is the Lord. So all it is in our consciousness making the endeavor to connect. It's not that Krishna needs to connect it. It's not that he can't figure out where his toes are, you know, so then the devotees have to go around and find them for it. You know? He knows where everything is. So it's a matter of its relationship that Krishna's looking for. So that's the in his purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes that anyone who follows the instructions of Lord Kapila can achieve the same liberation attained by Devahuti. The Lord spoke Bhagavad Gita, and thereby Arjuna achieved self-realization. And even today, anyone who follows the path of Arjuna can also attain the same benefit as Sri Arjuna. Right? So it's amazing how the philosophy of the tattva, which is the technical point, that works. But the culture then can't work. All it is the tattva is describing how the culture works, right? But that's 5,000 years old. That's eternal. But this other is not, you know. Yeah. The scriptures are meant for this purpose. Foolish, unintelligent persons make their own interpretations by imagination, and thus mislead their followers, causing them to remain in the dungeon of material existence. Right? But don't worry. It will not be an Eastern a dungeon like this. However, simply by following the instructions imparted by Lord Kapila or Lord Krishna, one can obtain the highest benefit even today. The antiseptic potency of devotional service to the Lord is so great that it can neutralize the material infection even in the present life of a devotee. A devotee does not need to wait for his next birth for complete liberation. So that's the point. We're being offered that in one lifetime you can purify and be free from material existence. That's special.
Yes.
You know, especially coming from our background.
Yes.
Like that. So that. The Lord reciprocated with Akrimuni's fatherly devotion by accepting the sage as his own father. Footnote 1. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur remarks in this connection. Possessive case of Atrehi indicates the dative case. He said to Atri, who wanted a son, I have given Datta myself to you. Therefore, he was named Datta, son of Atri, Atreya. So Datta, Atreya, Dattatreya. So there's a whole point of giving himself. That's the element. He wanted the Lord as a son. The Lord gives himself. Right? Therefore, then what is Krishna asking of us? He's giving himself, so we should give ourselves. So therefore, heart and soul. Right? Because with Krishna, it's heart and soul. So then why, if we want to reciprocate, it has to be saying heart and soul. Right? Long, long before the advent of Shankaracharya and his Mayavad philosophy, the Dattatreya avatar was a great expounder of Nirvishesh Jnana. Footnote 2. The specific name for Lord Dattatreya's doctrine is to be found in Srimad Bhagavatam 8.3.12, where Gajendra prays, I offer my respectful obeisances to Lord Vasudeva, who is all pervading, to the Lord's fierce form as Lord Nrisingadeva, to the Lord's form as an animal, Lord Varahadeva, to Lord Dattatreya, who preached impersonalism, Nirvisheshaya, to Lord Buddha, and to all other incarnations. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has no material qualities, but who accepts the three qualities of goodness, passion, and ignorance within the material world. I also offer my respectful obeisances unto the impersonal Brahman effulgence. Right, so Nirvisheshaya. So this Nirvishesh, this is an old thing. It's always been there. There's always those interested in Nirvishesh. Right? Is that the idea is that there is a supreme beyond the qualities here, because whatever here, it's just like this. Let's say something gives you trouble. Then now someone else is using that same thing without trouble. Are you interested?
Yeah.
Could be, but at the same time might not be if it's emotional. You understand? Does that make sense? Means if you're looking for how to practically apply, but if it's an emotional thing, then you don't want to. So that's the point, is that people, interactions, feelings, endeavors, results, nothing satisfied us. It's only given us pain. Therefore, there must be a place where there aren't any of this. Right? So we're thinking as an individual of a place where there is nothing. But the two don't go together, so it's not a logical thing. But people want to think like this. Therefore, then the Lord gives that as one of the options. So the impersonal philosophy. So otherwise, how is anybody going to take anything unless a great personality preaches it? Right? The Lord preaches it, people take it. You know, these personalities from Satyaloka come down, they preach it, people take it. Right. You know, ordinary people come up with stuff, it comes and goes. No one's ever heard of it. Right. But the great personality, then people take it seriously. So, for those who want to taste something other than the personal, then here's an option. So karma and jnana, that way you keep yourself busy. You involve yourself in karma, then you go through the varieties of karma. When you've exhausted that, then there's jnana. Then you go through the varieties of ways you can get involved in jnana. When that gets boring, then there's karma. You know?
So this element of Nirvishesha is kind of just from reflection. Here it's troublesome, therefore I'm
spiritual must be without that. Rather than, yes, it's without it, means the forms there don't give you trouble. The relationships don't give you trouble. That's the real difference, or you know, opposite. But they're taking it from the gross platform because they just deal with dravya. So that means the dravya gives me problem. Get rid of the dravya, no problem.
That also means that I'm not doing something wrong. I mean,
in the way of
if there are still forms and it won't give us trouble in the spiritual world, that means I'm doing something wrong now. If it's just void on the other side, that means I'm not necessarily doing something wrong now because the problem is in the surroundings.
Yes, true. Okay, so it's not me, it's the environment. Yeah, no, very good point. So that's something you said. Yeah. So right, because we're always trying to blame the third party.
Yes.
Right,
you know,
so.
Dattatreya is Nirvisheshagyana, is that Brahmavada?
Yes, that would be Brahmavada. See, the Mayavad is actually Shunyavad, right? It rides on the how you say, what would you call it? You know, the position of Nirvishesh. But it's actually Shunyavad that is void. All that's done is you're using what you could from the Vedas to describe Nirvishesh, but you're still applying it to Shunyavad. Yes, so it's actually covered Buddhism. It's not technically, because Shukadev Goswami, he's a Brahmavadi. The four Kumaras, they're Brahmavadis. Right? So they don't have any problem with Brahman having a form. But the Mayavadis do, so that's actually their Buddhists. They're not actually Brahmavadis. Right? Because if everything's Brahman, then anything that has a form is still Brahman. It's just all Brahman. Just there's variety in Brahman. Right? So Saguna Brahman has variety. Nirguna Brahman, which doesn't exist, which is Shunyavad. Right? Means there's nothing. That's a figment of the imagination. Right? Saguna Brahman means that you have self-realization, but not, it's not full, it's not complete. Right? Because the Lord's complete in three features, not one. Next, Narad hears about the Chakshushana avatar appearing as Brahma's own offspring. As for Brahmachari brothers, those features never age beyond those of five-year-olds, yet who are incarnations of the Supreme Lord's Jnana Shakti. The Chakshushana came to the aid of the sages whose knowledge was lost due to cosmic devastation after an earlier period of creation. The expert teachings of the four sannas restore spiritual vision to the Vedic civilization. Footnote 3, sanna means to spread out. Right, so they spread this knowledge because of the jnana. Interesting is that because of the jnana shakti, and that, how you say, Prajumna is the lord of intelligence. Like that. Yeah. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Because then Sanat Kumar is Prajumna. Mm-hmm. Murti Devi, daughter of Prajapati Daksha, and wife to Dharma personified, gave birth to the twin incarnation of Naranarayan Rishi. Cupid and a bevy of apsaras sent by Indra tried to deviate the sages from their vows. But Lord Naranarayana lightheartedly foiled the scheme by producing from his internal potency a multitude of women more beautiful than Indra had ever seen. Right? So lightheartedly means he doesn't get angry. Right? Because that doesn't make sense. Because Indra's trying something in, from his position with the apsaras, and it's like that's not going to get anywhere. If Krishna can walk out on the rasa dance, then what's going to be the point of these apsaras? Right? So then he produces his own. So then Indra is impressed. Srila Prabhupada elaborates. The Lord, being the source of everything that be, is the origin of all austerities and penances also. Great vows of austerity are undertaken by sages to achieve success in self-realization. Human life is meant for such tapasya, with a great vow of celibacy, or brahmacharya. In the rigid life of tapasya, there is no place for the association of women. And because human life is meant for tapasya, for self-realization, factual human civilization, as conceived by the system of Sanatana Dharma, or the school of four castes and four orders of life, prescribes rigid disassociation from women in three stages of life. In the order of gradual cultural development, one's life may be divided into four divisions: celibacy, household life, retirement, and renunciation. During the first stage of life, up to 25 years of age, a man may be trained as a brahmachari under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, just to understand that woman is the real binding force in material existence. Right? So it's okay, the point is that what does that mean? What does it mean in this case, woman? Right? It means the field of material enjoyment. Right? It means by association with the woman, I can get whatever material aspects of and position enjoyment that I want. Does that make sense? Like that. So, have you ever heard of, let's say, somebody very famous that only men have appreciated?
No.
No. But it has to be that the women appreciate. Right? Does that make sense? That, and so, that's from that aspect. You know, they speak very nicely. You expand your influence and fame. So, Dhanam Janam Sundarim. You know, does a brahmachari need a whole lot of money? Right? He knocks himself out, right? Then, what's he going to do? Right? He buys himself a solid gold bowl or something. And then what? Is there anything else? Okay, maybe a spoon. Okay? Like that. That's it. There's not going to be anything more. Mm-hmm. You know, that it ends there. You know, what can you do with your dhoti? You know what I'm saying? You know, how much can you do? So that's the whole point. But when you add woman to the equation, then the man is trying to arrange so much. You understand?
Yeah.
So it's not the living entity that's the woman. It's not even the feminine nature that's the problem. It's that the jiva is trying to control and enjoy that feminine nature.
Yes.
That's the actual point you're making. But because that's not appreciated, so you start off with just the form of woman, because that you can relate to. But then the point is the maturity. It comes back that it's the attachment to them that's the problem.
Yes.
Otherwise, the whole spiritual world, you know, quite a bit is women. Right? You know, the residents of Vaikuntha, basically everybody's married, so at least it's 50-50 there.
Yeah. On rasa, on sattva, it's 100.
Yes, that's another thing, yes. You know, so I'm saying that's not the problem. The problem is when we get into this Purusha Bhav that I'm the controller and enjoyer. So the point is, if you can't control and enjoy the feminine nature, what's the point? What does Krishna control and enjoy? The feminine nature. Yeah, but I'm saying that's the whole point. So we're trying to do that. That's why the problem is. That's why we have to be trained. Because if ultimately it comes back to, it's not just women, it's Krishna's energy, which is feminine. So everything that I'm seeing should not be seen with the idea of my enjoyment. You know what I'm saying? But it's epitomized in the feminine form.
Mm.
Right? But because all the aspects are there. Yeah. So other things, that we see, it has some aspect or another. But the feminine form, everything is there. That's why it's Adhiras.
So the point of this chapter we're reading, the course of enjoyment, that is the central point.
That's the central point. So that's what you're trying to get to. Because he's saying here, right after saying, making this point, so it's by tapasya that you'll get self-realization. Human life is meant for such tapasya. And therefore, with the vow of celibacy, there's no place for the association of women. Okay, now, so that's the whole point. That's the austerity, is that no place for women. So what does it mean, no place for women? No place for trying to enjoy women. That's the point. So that means those in the male bodies are not trying to enjoy women, and those in female bodies are not trying to enjoy women. Does that make sense? It's just like, the woman enjoys going out shopping, right? You got the credit cards, you got a few of them, you can go nuts. It's fun, right? Okay, but what are you enjoying? Is it just shopping? Men go shopping, right? I saw this one thing, it had this little map, of a store, and it showed how the man buys and how the woman buys. You've seen that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Man goes in, goes specifically to the counter, gets the thing, goes to the place, buys it, and goes out of the shop. The woman goes in, goes all over the whole store like this, and goes to the place, goes all over again, goes back, goes all over, and then finally gets it, and then goes out. So in other words, what's going on? Shopping's fun because you're enjoying the nature of woman. You understand? Now, for women, there's nothing else you're going to do, right? But the point is there's the attitude is that, is the feminine nature just engaged because there's some connection to Krishna, or is it just that you're going to get the benefit from it? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right, because you go around the shop, you see so many things, so many options of things to do for Krishna, and then you get the things that you need right now for Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? So the masculine just, before I need that, go and get that, and then go out. Does that make sense? You know. And then you walk by something that looks interesting, there'll be a little glint, and that's it. The next time you look up, right? Yeah. Does that make sense? So in other words, everybody in the material world is trying to exploit and enjoy women. Women included. Right? So it's just like, man's not going to enjoy without woman. Woman's not going to enjoy being a woman without having the men. You know what I'm saying? So it's the same principle. So we have to get beyond that we're only involved in the social because of its connection to Krishna, therefore Daiva Varnasha. So my point is Prabhupada's made this strong point about the women and that. And then after that he brings up Varnashram, which the central and most important ashram is Grihastha Ashram. Right? And the maximum amount of people are in the Grihastha Ashram. Right? So it's only from 5 to 25 that someone's a brahmachari. So for 20 years. So 20 years out of a, you know, so that means maximum people are in there. Right? Excuse me, not for 5 to 25, but before up to 5 and then after 25. So you got 30 years, you know, officially it's your hot stuff. Though there's always a little extension, right? You know, 30, 35, 40, you know, whatever it is. So, like that. But the brahmachari, it's, you know, it's supposed to be 5 to 25. It's, that's when it's generally shortened by a few years. You know, the grihastha is lengthened by a few years. You know, so it works out. You know what I'm saying? So the maximum volume of people are in there. So the point is that it's about the mentality. Again, coming back to it's the mentality. There's the pious form that's used, but it's the mentality that you use the pious form that makes it devotional or just piety, or not using that form, it's sinful.
Yes.
Okay. For who wants to get freedom? If one wants to get freedom from the material bondage of conditional life, he must get free from the attraction for the form of a woman, right? So that means if it's the attraction, means in other words, the attraction to the woman is the symptom that the material conditioning is still there, that material, that concept of material existence. Once that's given up, then one is beyond. When one is in the liberated position, right? So the standard recommended position within the Vedic system is that someone will be in that position, and with that position, then one works within the Varnashram system. Then everything goes very nicely, right? In other words, the materialistic man wants to gain something from the woman, okay? So he'll behave in a way, depending upon his culture, that he thinks is nice, that will impress the woman. Okay? Now, let's say on the materialistic platform, he doesn't want to get anything from that particular woman, he won't behave nicely. Right? So, but if he has nothing to gain from women, then, position and training and seeing everything in connection to Krishna, then from that position he could deal very nicely and properly with the women. You understand? So the social environment will improve by what Prabhupada's talking about. Most take it that no, it will go down, because we've had, you know, all these years, you know, the brahmacharis and the sannyasis. Of course that was like 30 years ago, but whatever it is, you know, how you say the remembrance of bad situations is always encouraged, right? So,
that's
right. So, the point is that it moves, right? Yeah.
Should be.
Yeah. So, then the point is that, but that's a misapplication. That's not, because here it says, from the attraction for the form of woman. It doesn't say for the form of a woman. Or for a particular, it means of women.
Yeah.
Right? In other words, it's a feminine form. It has its aspects of beauty, and those are to be used in Krishna's service. But it's not for me to enjoy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
He had a Pradhana Muni. He was a brahmachari. He decided to get married. So it was not the point of enjoyment at some level.
No. The point is, but why are you involved in it? What is the intent by him getting married?
To get purified
and move beyond that, right? So then, if that's the intent, then what's the problem?
Okay, then that's really not talking.
That's why there is the Grihastha Ashram. In other words, you could go through nicely through the Vedic system by just going from brahmachari to vanaprastha or to sannyas. Right, grihastha life technically is not necessary, but because we have our material conditioning, therefore grihastha life is a favored option, right, or even a recommended option. So then, but the point of it is that not to, it has a license for enjoyment, but the point is to become freed from that enjoyment by dealing with it firsthand, right? In other words, You have heard what the problem is, you've seen what the problem is, but you still don't have the realization, so you deal with it. By that dealing, then you understand what it, the other two. But if you go in without the first two positions, then there's every chance you may not learn. Right? So then you remain in the fourth category, which is not good.
Yes.
Right. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the whole thing to learn.
So the whole dealing with it is actually still dependent on the hearing and seeing also
yes.
functioning.
Yes. Because the point is you've heard from the scriptures, you see, you know, others interacting.
Yes.
You know, and so then, but the point is it's the same. It's so like the gute is on the ground, right?
Gute.
Okay, no, I'm safe. The gute is on the tiller.
Gute.
Okay. The cow dung paddy.
Okay.
Is on the tiller, drying.
Yes.
Right, and it's looking at the cow dung paddy in the fire and laughing.
Yes. Point taken.
Yes. So, yes.
So does it mean that Grihastha Ashram is for slow people, those who can't really understand
it? Therefore, the material world is known as, means, how you say, those who are quick, they've gone back to Godhead. The slows come here. Right. The Prabhupada says, second class man gets married. Meaning that he hasn't learned by hearing and all that. So therefore, that's considered. But the point is in the Vedic system, there is everything works out. Because then the second class comes to the first class position. Right? So even in the Vedic system, you have those who join the ashram as brahmacharis, but it's may or may not be understood by them, but basically everyone, that they will get married. But the idea is that they become first-class brahmachari, they'll be a first-class grihastha. Right? So that's the whole idea. So you always have within a situation. So within the situation, it's like this. If you could perfect yourself in Krishna consciousness without being involved in the whole family environment, would that not be easier? Yes.
Yeah.
So that's why that's called the first class option. Second class option is to get involved in all the entanglement, all the difficulties, all the complications. But the point is the Vedic system, it's designed to bring everyone to that first class position. Right? So in other words, that's why then technically brahmacharis can just go straight to sannyas. They don't require the vanaprastha ashram to get the sannyas. But the vanaprastha ashram is specifically designed in how husband and wife now cultivating that concept that there is nothing in the material world. There is nothing to gain from the conditioning. And then one can live the lifestyle there. It can also be a terminal ashram. Right? It's not that it has to terminate in sannyas. That can be the terminal ashram. Is that it's a good position to be detached, but still functioning in an environment that is comfortable. Does that make sense? So it's all designed like that. Not to do any of these three right, then there's brahmachari. Like that. So the whole thing's designed like that. So it works out nicely. Yeah.
Yesterday a conversation came up about this vanaprastha stage and two senior ladies who are in that stage. I made a point that we see very little in ISKCON, you know, couples which are mature and are preaching together, like opening. We do see, but not generally. Generally it's like the men has for sannyas. And I said, it will be interesting to see that. And they had mixed opinion, but one of them says, no, but we need to see more sannyas there.
Of course, means if you're talking about, you know, hundreds of thousands, then you expect to see that kind of thing. But then the point is that solid brahmachari ashram, that solid sannyas ashram, that's something to be cultivated, something to be developed. It's not an administrative consideration. It's a matter of training. The whole varnashram is about training. It's not about skills. right? It's about training. So if that's there, people are inspired. Point is women are inspired by the brahmacharya because it's something that they know is beyond their natural way of viewing things, right? Right. So in other words, if something's beyond, there's always a respect for it. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is that the men are wondering why they're not being respected. But the point is women respect the brahmachari aspect. So if someone's a grihastha brahmachari, women will respect. But at the same time, it will be the medium of expression of that respect will still be from the grihastha perspective. So they still have to deal with the contrary, elusive and shy. It'll still have that medium. While women are very careful on that, you know, at least the contrary and the elusive, you know, shyness will be there, but, you know, they try to be more direct when dealing with the brahmachari aspect. So there can be 100% respect there, right? But in the grihastha ashram, the natural thing is 50. That's the commitment. Right? So 50% is good. The men are thinking, oh, why not 100%? But then you're in the wrong ashram. And if your whole concept of being in ashram is to get that respect of women, then you're in the right ashram. Right? Does that make sense? So if you want it, you can't have it. When you don't want it, then it's there. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that the energy, it's about pleasing Krishna. Because it's the contrary by nature. We're thinking, no, it should go the way I want it. If I'm in control, it should go the way I want. But then what would you be dealing with?
Feminine.
Yeah, you're dealing with feminine, but feminine by nature is contrary. So what you're looking for is that all the women will act like men, but at the same time as have all the feminine graces. How does that work? You know?
Yeah.
I see. Yeah. You know, I want... Yeah. You know. It's just... In other words, in the material world, we want the impossible, but it's not possible. But in the spiritual world, the impossible is possible. Right? All the contradictory qualities are perfectly aligned because it's Krishna. But here in the material world, we want to deal with all the contradictory elements. But it's not possible to put them together. Because it's Krishna by his achintya shakti that they're put together. So if you don't connect a situation with Krishna, it's impossible. So that's why we say is if you connect everything to Krishna, then automatically everything becomes possible. Everything becomes perfect. Because the achintya shakti will hold together all the opposing elements. Therefore, the husband and wife can live together as vanaprasthas and be absorbed in their sadhana and preaching. Right? Because that's the interest. So that's the conversation. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
So from what you're saying, it seems that the real training for problems in the grihastha ashram would be the philosophy in Krishna Katha. That was the thing which would really...
The real thing is knowledge. Because that's what it's based on. Why does somebody do something wrong? Because of ignorance. Right? What's the main problem? Is you're trying to... Without training, then you're having to deal with two false egos clashing. You know what I'm saying? And then there's a problem. One false ego takes up, you know, an extension 3 feet from the body and to specific items that they consider theirs, right? The other one, it has the direct manifestation of 3 feet from the body, and other than that, it takes up the whole rest of the universe. How are you going to make those two work? Right? Does that make sense? So, if it already expands to the whole universe, then it can accommodate. that it can't adjust with. But if you have it only specific, then that means you can adjust with that bigger. You understand? So that's the independence, is to be able to adjust. The feminine dependence is others have to adjust. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so when in a marriage life we're saying for the women that they have to change, that's actually a feminine position.
It's a feminine position. But what is this change? What does that mean, change? You know what I'm saying? That's the problem. Change, it's like saying you have to change your condition. It's not going to happen. Arjuna already said that in the beginning of Gita. He's going to change, go to the forest, be a Brahmin. And Krishna laughed and says, no, it's not. You go to the forest and you'll find something to fight over there. Right? It's not going to happen. You can purify a nature, you can't change a nature. So these are all illusory concepts. They're just illusion. Because the point is, the man wants the woman to change, but the real problem is that he's unwilling to change. Now the point is, if he wants her to change, he has to change. He changes, she'll follow. He doesn't change, she won't change. It's very simple. But as G pointed out before, it's a solution that means it's about yourself, and everybody always wants the third party solution, right? Because then you can always keep family and friends, and it's always them, right? But the real point is, you change your perspective. It's all changed. The world has unlimited facets. So it's the perspective you're looking at it that can be adjusted. Like that. It's everything. So you adjust how you look at it, then you change the... But what you see, that's not going to change. You understand? So, Brahmashatya, Vaishashudra, Grihastha, Brahmachari, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, that's not going to change. How you see, that's not what you're trying to change. You're trying to change how you see what you see.
It's a question of different perspective, like some suffering, some distress is coming, you can suffer or not, I mean, according to how you perceive the distress.
Yes, it's how you perceive the distress, because what you call distress, someone else calls happiness. Mm-hmm.
Does this come back to identity, desire, and goal?
Yeah, come back to that. So you can purify that. I am the servant of Krishna. The goal is to use everything in Krishna's service, you know, to please Him. So if you do that, then it's all adjusted. You know, saying that's why the brahmacharya is there, because then, whether you identify as Krishna's servant or not, you are a servant. So unless you've learned the mood of service, how's it going to work, right? And so that's the position, and then the feminine position also. They learn service. I probably said cooking, cleaning, these kind of things. You learn that. You learn service attitude. So that means if you have the man with a service attitude and the woman with a service attitude, then you've got something here that can work. You understand? But a man thinks this, you know, I say jump and the wife says how high, and she's a career lady, then you don't have a chance, you know, at all. You know what I'm saying? So as long as the physical interaction is still worthwhile, then they'll stay together. And as soon as that starts to wane, then give it a year and then divorce. You know what I'm saying? Because that's it.
Also, Krishna's built in menopause to detach the man at some point.
That's there, but the whole point is that even it's not, you could still maintain the principle of enjoyment. You know what I'm saying? Because the point is you're reducing the attraction to women of the universe down to one, but then the idea has to go from one to none.
not from one to a different one. Like that. So that's the whole thing.
None gives another picture from one to none.
Yeah,
to none.
Yeah. Well, yeah, okay, yeah. That's on the ladies' side. From being the one to being none. Sticker, right? Yeah. Okay. That'd be interesting. Maybe yeah, make a talk show. Okay. Okay. Woman, or the fair sex, is the enchanting principle for the living entities. And the male form, especially in the human being, is meant for self-realization. The whole world is moving under the spell of womanly attraction. It says the whole world. So it's not just... It says it's everything. It's like And as soon as a man becomes united with a woman, he at once becomes a victim of material bondage under a tight knot. Because if before he's carefree, doesn't worry about things, he gets involved with a woman, then he starts to worry about things. Right? Yeah. That's because of the attachment. Otherwise, if he had that proper training, he would be, how you say, dutiful before, and then after his marriage, he would still be dutiful. You know, so it all works. So it wouldn't be because of his attachment that therefore he's making the endeavor. It's because that he has the proper training.
So then the attachment would go to Krishna naturally, right?
Yes, because the point is what is Yudhishthira Maharaj's point at the end of at the first canto when Arjuna comes back from Dwarka? Right? He's talking about how everything that we had was by the grace of Krishna. And he's mentioning just regular, ordinary stuff. You know, we have our kingdoms, we have our wives, we have our children, we have our position in society, you know, we have our weapons, we have everything. It's by Krishna's grace. So it's all Krishna. You know, so if everything's working smoothly, then it's Krishna. And if it's not, it's still Krishna. So that's the whole thing, is that then the whole... one doesn't become a victim of material bondage. One works with the modes of nature. One is not controlled by them. Why it's said that the not being involved in the married life is easier is because you're involved with less complications of the modes of nature. As a brahmachari, you're basically dealing with sattva-guna with very minimal passion or ignorance. Right, it's moving very. It means you have the center line. It's moving very, very close to it. You know, you go. It's time for breakfast. You go to your locker. You open the door. Your bowl's not there. That's the extent of your, you know, total material anxiety. You understand? So for the Brahmin, that's big, serious. But still, it's very. What you're dealing with is very small. You know. You know, and then to figure out that, you know, you were so foolish you left it there last time you ate at the pumps after you washed it and put it on the seat. So no one actually stole it. It's not something for the FBI. you were an idiot and forgot the ball because you started talking to your friend and joking and laughing and you walked off and left the ball. Right? Yeah, so this is the extent of what you're dealing with, you know. You know, you're a little late, you know, you're doing something, chanting and that, so you go get your bed and that, you go to your favorite spot and somebody's already in it. You know, these are the anxieties. These are the real, you know, the pits of brahmachari life. You know, like
it's
that.
Good because it keeps you getting to take rest early because you have that spot and you need that
spot. You want that spot, you take rest early. So, you understand? So, in other words, the motivation always... So, here, you don't want the anxiety of losing the ball, therefore be more responsible. You understand? But so do you tell the bowl's got to change? Oh, you got to change, you know? So, no. But the guy will tell his wife she's got to change, he won't tell his bowl it's got to change. You know, so, you know, it's like he's got his Chevy, but you know, it's a, you know, whatever it is, it's a, you know, 4-cylinder, not that big. He wants an 8-cylinder. Okay, so does the Chevy go out and do it itself? No, he goes and arranges and puts it all there. So if he wants change, he does it. You understand?
Yeah.
We'll do that. So that means you want change in your wife, you do it. How do you learn that? By doing it as a brahmacharya. And if you haven't learned by then you learn as a grihastha.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to have this knowledge that that's what to learn. Otherwise, if you don't, then you have to go through it again.
And again.
Yes. Yes, that's true. So it has, there is method to the madness. And it, so it works. That's why it's designed this way. And it's fun. Krishna does it himself. He goes through all these stages himself.
Maharaj, there was a statement in Dharma Shastra, I think it was Jagdivakya, where he said, just as a river naturally flows to the ocean, similarly the wife naturally takes on the qualities of the husband.
Yeah, that's just natural. It means if you have appreciation of somebody, then you naturally adjust. Because if you like them, then you like what they do. You know, so it's just natural. So it's not a problem. But the point is that if that, for that to naturally happen, means there shouldn't be any, you know, dams or little things taking something off to the side or
obstacles and diversions.
Yeah. So the whole point is therefore, how is that going to happen? Because the man acts in a way that the woman naturally wants to follow. Is that so? That's the whole point. So we just look at it. No, that's what they have to do. But the point is to, for the woman to do that, then what's the qualification? So that's the point that's never looked at. That's never seen as the solution. So it's that women aren't taken care of, so therefore you give more and more freedom so that they can take care of themselves. Did you actually solve the problem?
No.
Because you're not actually taking care. That facility is not there. So it doesn't solve the problem. It never will. Because this concept of the liberty, it's always been there. As we mentioned, I think it's in Mahabharata, that Arjuna, in his travels when he was going around, you know, when he was touring the holy places and all that, came across a kingdom that was only women. Right? And these are tough women. Right? But, you know, somehow or another it worked out between him and the queen of the place. But, you know what I'm saying? So the whole point is that's just the natural relationship. But you have to function in that. So that takes training. Right? Is that what you're saying? So, in other words, women are going to be women whether they're trained or not. The difference is whether they're a good woman or a bad woman, but they'll be a woman. But men, if they're not trained, they won't be men. It's just that simple. That's why the focus says in the Vedic suttas on the men. Because if the men are trained in that, everything goes properly. Yes.
Somebody might argue that not being involved in with, you know, the opposite sex because it's part of something, it's what Krishna says is in the mode of action.
Yes.
So what's the difference in mentality of the person who actually doesn't have to deal with and who should get married? It
means he doesn't have to deal because there's no interest, there is no need. So there is no giving. Having a need but not getting married because of the trouble, that's to be avoided. Right? In other words, if need is there, once you get married, there's no need, then there's no need to get married. So it's not about mode of passion. Because otherwise, what's the thing is we think, okay, at the beginning one's, you know, enamored by the wife, when that how you say, enamorment, enamoration.
Enamorment.
Okay.
Enamoricity.
When that reduces, then he'll start to see the difficulties. So, but then what's the problem?
He still has to perform his duty.
Yes, without training, he will think it's this woman. No, it's women, not this woman.
Yeah.
And so just and so that's the nature of women. So whether he's enamored or not, that's the nature. So that means he has his duties, right? Because the duties are in connection with the nature, right? Does that mean, let's say, I'm taking care of a horse. So my duties are in connection with what? The horse, the nature of the horse. So I have to take care of the nature of the horse. Now, whether I like horses or don't like horses, the duty remains the same. So that's the point. If one's not trained in that position of duty in brahmacharya. So brahmacharya means all these aspects. We just take it of control of the senses. But the sense of duty, the sense of menial service, the sense of cleanliness, respect, knowledge, study, that's brahmacharya. So that's what's respected.
Sensitivity.
Yes, sensitivity, all that. Means to control the senses, you can be sensitive.
Mm-hmm. Maharaj, what it means woman care?
Woman care.
Yeah.
Means is that kind of like, you've heard of mother care, and so now you want to know what's woman care?
Which aspect?
Is it a different shop, or what are they selling? What does this mean, woman care?
I mean, which aspect you need to care?
Which aspect of the woman you need to care about? Basically all of them.
And more.
Yes. No. All of them includes and more. That's one of the qualities.
One of them.
You know, is it Bed Bath and Beyond?
Yeah. A woman, her qualities and beyond.
Everything, all things, and beyond.
Okay.
What do you mean? You have physical, you have emotional, you have intellectual, you have spiritual.
They ask a lot.
A lot would not properly define. That means the impossible, that's the proper definition. So, how, as we discussed before, how are you going to obtain the impossible?
And connect to Krishna.
Yes, that's the point. If you connect it to Krishna, then Krishna's achintya shakti is there. Therefore, the impossible is obtainable. So then, what's the point? Is because the impossible is trying to be attained for Krishna. So naturally, then the husband and wife benefit from that as side points. The point is the endeavor is to please Krishna, and then as side things, you automatically husband and wife are pleased. Right, but then as you identify less and less with being a husband and being a wife, then making that endeavor for that is the basis becomes less important, and now it becomes about Krishna. In other words, I'm doing these indirect activities to please Krishna, so why not do the direct to please Krishna? That's the difference between Grihastha and Vanaprastha. Grihastha, one is performing the direct activities, but there's a lot of focus on the indirect. Well, vanaprastha means the focus is on the direct and you take care of the indirect. But you've already had 20, 30 years to work out, you know, formulas to do that, so those just run automatically. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. The desire for lording it over the material world under the intoxication of a false sense of lordship specifically began just after the man's unification with the woman. Right? Desires for lording the material under the intoxication of a false sense of lordship. So that's the whole point, is that the man's thinking it's the problem. The problem is this is what comes up. What's the problem in the man in interacting with the woman is then from doing that, if it goes at all nicely, then he comes under the intoxication of false sense of lordship. That's the difficulty. So the problem's actually not the woman. The problem is the bewilderment that comes from being attracted and attached to. Right? So that's why it's saying one has to give up this attraction for the form of woman.
Is that because of the Purusha Bhava?
Yes. It means if there's no Purusha Bhava, then it's just like this. Let us say you have a standard Tesco knife, okay, in the kitchen. And then you have one of these high-end from a boutique, kitchen store. Really good looking, perfect, balanced, everything like that, shiny, okay?
Yes.
So now the point is that what does it do?
Cuts.
Both of them cut. So the thing is, if you're bewildered by the knife, what happens?
You cut yourself.
Cut yourself rather than the potato, right? You understand?
Yes.
So it's not technically the knife that's a problem. The knife is dangerous if you don't deal with it properly. Does that make sense? So women are dangerous if you don't deal with them properly. And dealing with them not properly is being attached. You know what I'm saying? That's the difficulty. Because you don't have to be attached to be consistent in your duties.
Yes.
That takes training.
And that Purusha Bhav will make us deal improperly.
And the Purusha Bhav that has that, yes. Or if you understand this nicely, there's enough piety, then you understand, okay, this is the nature, this is how you deal, I'm dealing that way so that either I get the benefit or not get the trouble, or both. But at least then you'll become expert at it. But still, its weakness is that there'll still be dissatisfaction because it's not connected to the Lord. So only when it's connected to the Lord you get satisfied. There's nothing you'll be satisfied with that's not connected to the Lord. Is that
word?
Thank you. Right, so that's what it's meant by Prabhupada saying you don't have to change position. You simply have to change the consciousness. Then everything works out. Then if there's a need to adjust the position, then that can be done. But in connection with this improved consciousness. Otherwise, if we're just changing position, it's just another mundane position.
Mm-hmm. So, as the purport Prabhupada refers to that, in the beginning many took sannyas prematurely and then they had to go through, he just says something.
Yes. And premature doesn't mean it's not by age, it's by maturity. Mm-hmm. Right? It's just like the example that Maharaj Rahugana, emperor of the world. And it wasn't that he was just, crowned. He's been doing this for some time. And he's not having any problem, but he was considered immature. Because he was seeing just the externals. He was not seeing the subtle elements of the spiritual, the soul. So that one has to look at that position. Otherwise, it's, just to get something done, then that's not the point of an ashram. It facilitates certain things, right? It means, in other words, sannyas may facilitate preaching, but it's not that sannyas is preaching. The preaching is the attitude of the living entity. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The sannyasi or the brahmachari, it's just, after breakfast, they can just go out to the program, right? But the grihastha has to drop his kid at the school or, pick them up to go to the dentist or this and that. So he has to work these things in. So that's why it's better. But then, let's say you want to preach within the families and all that. Then it has an option. You're already there. You have reasons to invite people over. You have all these different things. So it works nicely there in that community preaching. So everything has its advantage.
Yes.
Could you say that then you only really need to change your position if you can't figure out how to serve the Lord nicely in the position that you have?
No, means is that, yes, you could have that, but as long as it works. Why change the position if it doesn't work? The other thing is as you become, and that why the position you're in. The position you're in is controlled by certain modes, right? Now, there is, within the nature, there are the modes. So you can, the nature will remain, but you can purify what modes you're functioning under. Does that make sense? Let's say you have a Shudra. Now, if he becomes a devotee, he's still, his nature is still a Shudra. But it can be purified that he does Shudra work in connection with Krishna, or he does his duties nicely instead of giving everybody a headache. You know, like that. But still, he'll be working for somebody, but he can do his work nicely because he's purified. That won't change. So as a business person, that won't change. He'll still do business. But now, he thinks of how to use this money in Krishna's service rather than just how to conquer the world. You know what I'm saying? So that's the difference, is that it will improve. Therefore, he may change the position, but within his nature. You know what I'm saying? It's like maybe his house looked like a bomb hit it. But then after becoming purified, he decides maybe it's worthwhile to, you know, clean the place up. Does that make sense? You know, so that's the whole thing. So you start from wherever you are. So the thing is that, no, we are where we are, we don't want to disturb people. That's because we're saying that because we don't understand the philosophy. We think we're changing position. No, we're purifying position. That's why there's no need of such a thing as soft preaching or making adjustments for the non-Vedic mentality. It's a matter of, no, whatever the position, you start there and then bring it in line with Krishna. But we're thinking, no, we're changing. I'm changing my culture. I'm changing this and that. No, this is these are just the soul coming in line with God. So then, if it's favorable, I work within that position. If it's not favorable, then I don't. But to say that it has to be favorable, and I have to remain in this, that's foolishness. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Then we see that Srila Prabhupada, he gives many of his disciples sannyasi title. Even some of them are not, seem not immature enough.
Still, but you have to start somewhere. You have to start the process going. So therefore, in Krishna, as Prabhupada points out, in the material world, you have to have the material qualification and have it for a long time, and then people will recognize it, and then you'll get the benefit. But in Krishna consciousness, because you're working on the platform of the soul, therefore, you can use the position to practice developing that proper Krishna conscious mentality. Because that's how we're working. We're working top down, not bottom up. You know what I'm saying? So just saying, okay, it can take sannyasi, you have to be older. You know, or yes, you know, yes, I say, you know, it finally came. We're proud to announce that, you know, the assembly has, Vaishnavas has found that, you know, now is the right moment to posthumously give, you know, sannyas to this devotee. Right? Because it's not about age, it's about training. So what's the training for brahmacharya? What's the training for grihastha, vanaprasana? What's the training? You understand? So that's fine. Oh, we're over time. Does that make sense? So all we do is just make rules that to get rid of my trouble. But to make things actually run properly means more of an endeavor. So we're looking at how to get the maximum benefit from no endeavor. All right. So how does that benefit? The real point is it has to be training. That's the whole point. That's why Prabhupada says brahmacharya. The whole Vedic system is based on training. In the ashram side, we're from a culture that there's basically whatever families do, then that's it. There's no standard. There's no standard. But they try to standardize your training in vocational. And even that's pretty general. You know what I'm saying? So we're coming from a background that doesn't have a concept. Does that make sense? So unless you're coming from a practicing religious background or very old school European tradition, which is based also, again, on a religious background, you will not have any concept of life training as a necessary foundation for society. It won't make any sense. Therefore, we'll always look at what's the quick solution. Right? Because training means brahminical. Brahminical means mode of goodness. Mode of goodness is something out of our league. Right? Mode of passion's out of most people's league. Right? The mode of ignorance, that's pretty, you know, that's like a standard.
Sweet home.
Yeah, sweet home. Home is where the heart is. Okay. Yes, you should bring these, because in the afternoon class, I would expect, unless we hit some issues, then, like this, like today we did two pages. Right? Yeah. Here we did seven.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare